Psalm 138. Well, welcome to each one this morning. Valentin and Tanya are here today. And like family, right? Yeah. They've been in isolation. And you notice what's happened, right? Tanya's going to have a baby. That's the way it is when you're in isolation. Yeah. Hey, good stuff. We're praying for you. I'm sorry? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Using the time wisely. That's right. Yeah. Well, it certainly is a joy to have you here. And welcome to each of you as you're, whether you're visiting or ministering here today. We want to break bread this morning, and our delight is to know the Savior who loves us. Thank you, worship team, for ministering in song. Just special to see. And special music this morning, we really were ministered to. Thank you again for all of that. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. And though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes, and with your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Breaking bread is about praising God and worshiping him, being able to meditate upon his goodness, to do so in song and to read his word and to pray. It's just one way in which we as believers can do that. And it's so good to be able to break bread together. We can do it in our own homes, sure, with our families and such, and I would encourage that. At the same time, it's so good to be able to do that together and to remember the Lord. I want to open it up to different men to come and share things that you've been reading and to lead us in prayer as well.
Can turn to Romans chapter 5. I've read it in a few different versions, and I chose the NLT here this morning to read it, so just brings a little more light to the picture. Starting in verse 1, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into the place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with this love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you consider us your friends. And thank you that you've saved us. Thank you that you've done everything for us so that we can be with you for eternity. Just thank you for each one here. Help us to encourage each other as we move on from here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today for Father's Day, I was thinking about 1 John. And 1 John, the book of John, John the writer is speaking to a church not about how you can know you can be saved, but about fellowship and keeping fellowship with God. And he uses the words, dear children, throughout the book. And in chapter 2, verse 12, he says this. He says, I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young man, because you overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will not be yet been made known, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. All who have hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. I was just thinking about just the terminology of fathers and what goodness and what God has given to us. This word lavished is it's about extravagance and just abundant. It's huge. And I was just thinking on what, as we remember what he's done for us in this communion service, just as we think about that, I was just thinking about what greatness and great love that he's given to us, that we are adopted, as the Bible puts it, that not of anything of our own, but just by who we are and our belief in him. He makes us adopted and his sons and daughters in Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us and how you've adopted us to be your children and have you lavished on us just your love and your goodness, and that we can be secure in you. And know that no matter what happens in life, you are our good Father, and you care for us. And we pray, Lord, that that you'd bless the rest of the service. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'll read the first 11 verses. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like... Okay. To those who have obtained like precious faith, and with us, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so grateful for your unconditional love that you've given to us. We can totally rely on you. You're always faithful. And thank you for these great and precious promises, as Peter says it here, Lord. Thank you for that. I pray that each one here this morning will just cling to those promises and trust you fully. Just thank you for this wonderful opportunity here this morning just to worship you together and be encouraged by each other and to just remember the great things that you've done for us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Turn your Bibles to Psalm 23. This week I had a pretty full week. And I've been thinking about this more. The Lord is my shepherd. What does that really mean? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. What do you mean? I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This verse in verse 3, he refreshes my soul, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. It's been dear to me this week. I had the privilege of meeting a man, a farmer that came from north of Portage on Friday. It was a bit strange. I was at a local law firm here, and I sat down. I was waiting for my appointment, and he wanted to engage in a conversation. At first, I was annoyed because I was pressed for time, and here I was on time for my appointment, but I couldn't get in right away. Then this man engaged conversation with the receptionist there. And the lawyer came that I was there to meet with, and he started talking to me again while I'm walking into the boardroom. And I just sort of brushed him off. I said, well, you know, have a good day. My appointment didn't take very long, and I saw him there. He was trying to get an appointment with one of the lawyers there. And as I'm walking out, I get to the truck, and he walked out behind me. And he was driving this Corvette there. And he says, you want the car? I said, no, I probably wouldn't know how to handle it. He's like, oh, no, it's real easy. So he just carried on telling me about this car. And here I am. I've got my truck running. It's in reverse. Put the brakes on. And he keeps talking. And I'm pressed for time, right? Like always. This is sort of how I set my schedule. Finally, he just wouldn't stop. And I put my truck, I put it back in park. I turned it off. And I'm like, you know what? This man just needs somebody to talk to. So we sat there and we talked. And we talked. And I stood there for... Finally, the sun was beating on me there, so I got out of the truck. Now we're standing in front of the law firm there and talking. After probably an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, he says to me, you know, I'm going to be late for my appointment. Because in 5 minutes, I have an appointment here. I said, okay. But throughout this time, we talked about so many things. It's amazing how much we talked about in an hour and a half. We talked about God's grace. We talked about God's mercy, His love. We talked about this journey on earth here. We talked about David and Goliath. We talked about sin. We talked about life after death. We talked about Jesus' atonement for our sins. Just before I was about to let him go there to his appointment, he says, you know, I'm thank you for taking the time. Because I'm up against the Goliath right now. And I said, you know, remember that, you know, David didn't touch the Lord's anointed. David was gracious and merciful. He was a man after God's own heart. And leaving there, I just felt so refreshed. My soul was refreshed because God would allow me, which I was trying to avoid, ignore, that I would be able to have this blessed conversation with this man that I have no idea. Never met him before, and I don't know if I'll meet him again, but we had just great conversation. He must have been late 60s, I'm guessing. And my soul was refreshed when I left there. So I want to encourage us to seize the opportunity if you see it. Let's encourage one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today for people that you've brought into my life where I can be just refreshed as we give thought to what you have done, how you have paid the penalty of our sins, the good news that you came to bring. Thank you for that good news. Thank you for your great unconditional love for us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I know how you're all rushing to want to be outside in a nice, cool breeze. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of us. Isn't it great to be able to hear different people sharing different things from God's Word? Frank, you probably have every day is like that, so... Not that you're annoyed every day. I don't mean that. No. Let's turn to Psalm 16. Last week, we talked about Pentecost. Psalm 16, Psalm 138, Psalm 110 were all passages that Peter referred to in this Pentecost message. Psalm 16, verse 2. I said to Yahweh, you are my Lord. As we come to break bread, that's what we're trying to communicate. We're trying to express to the Lord, I acknowledge you. You are my God. And we know that we do so, well, sometimes a little sheepishly, because we confess that maybe we aren't always the people that we need to be. Next part of the verse, apart from you, I have no good thing. Apart from the Lord, could you say that? I have no good thing? Because that's really the truth. That's the bottom line. The psalm is credited to David. Lord Jesus, or Peter, certainly refers to David as being the author of this psalm. Verse 5. Lord, you've assigned me my portion and my cup. Everything that's going on in your life that God is permitting, God is saying, as Corny read to us out of 2 Peter chapter 1, he's given us everything that we need to be able to deal with the challenges that we face. The Apostle Paul would say something like this, my grace, as God said to Paul in the midst of his thorn in the flesh, my grace is sufficient for you. So as we come, we break bread. In the midst of being in God's rock tumbler, I got a rock here I shared with the Adult Bible Fellowship. And it's, somebody wants to know, how old is that rock? How would you answer that question? I think it's as old as the earth. What do you think? I don't have a guess on that. Verse 5, it says, you're my portion and my cup. We're going to partake of the cup. John read to us out of Romans chapter 5, while we were yet sinners, he took the cup. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Everything that you have should be seen as being a blessing from God, in spite of the fact that you realize that in this life, we're passing through. Carice is here today, and she's got her little boy, Eliab. We were praying for her safe delivery. Several months ago, she was suffering in Russia with a surgery that might have turned out a little different. She's praising the Lord that she's here. The Lord has blessed her. The boundary lines have fallen, even though at the time, as she was going through surgery and all the challenges that she's faced in getting from Russia to here have been undeniably difficult. So for all of us, we look at life and we say, wow, I wonder if people understand what I might be going through. Chances are, a lot of us don't, but the Lord does. Verse 7, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. That's why we're here. We are taking the Lord's counsel. He says, you know, if you You love me, you'll obey me. If you love me, you'll break bread, you'll remember me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord before me because he is at my right hand and I will not be shaken. That's why we're here, to remember that. That we're not to be shaken by the many things that are going on in this life. And so we come down to those two verses, verses 9 and 10 and 11, which make reference. Well, you wonder, David, was he thinking about himself? Well, you might say initially he was, but Peter certainly says, no, David was thinking about the Savior, about the Lord Jesus. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to death itself. Now, David anticipated meeting the Savior in his own lifetime. I think all of us do. Isn't that right? I would like to think that I'm going to see the Savior while I'm in this body. We should be thinking about that. Every Old Testament saint did. The New Testament saints did. It's not wrong to think that way. Earlier this week and a week ago, I did a couple of funerals, and the one graveside, I said, you know, I want you to imagine for a moment that all the people that are here who know the Lord aren't going to be here too much longer. I knew it probably shook everybody. You have to understand that death has no hold on you and me. Jesus, the resurrected Savior, makes that very, very clear. We are here to celebrate not only the fact that he died and shed his blood, but that he resurrected so that we would have life, so we could have conversations with people who don't have life, or with people who have life but have forgotten what that life looks like, the abundant life found in Jesus. And we could tell our children about, as we were singing this morning, all the things that we have come to appreciate just a little while. Just in a little while. And we'll be resurrected. You say, well, what if I don't die? Will I be resurrected? Well, you'll be transformed in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. Wouldn't that be great if that happened right now? I'll call the men who are coming up to serve this morning, if you would. Let's give thanks for the loaf. Lord, I thank you for what we've already heard this morning. As your word was proclaimed, as in song and reading and prayer and freedom that we have to be able to meditate upon it. Lord, you know each heart, every circumstance, every challenge in every life. You know the joys, you know our fears. You know our anxious hearts. We come before you today and we bow before you and we worship you. We know that you went through the Garden of Gethsemane. We know that you hung on a cross with two thieves. We know, Lord, that you were in the grave. You died. More amazing than all of that is that you forgave. You resurrected. You made it clear that we are going to be part of a company of resurrected ones. And so today we bow our knees before you. We break bread as we remember the loaf, symbolic of your body that was broken for us. As you told the crowds, you need to eat of my flesh. May we actually partake and realize that all that we are and hope to be is found in this relationship that we have with you. Thank you for the reminder that the Father lavished his love upon us, that we could be called your children, and that is just what we are. It has not yet appeared what we shall be, but when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Thank you for this loaf. May you bless your body, your church, as we pass it from one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Around the world today, people are breaking bread. They've been doing it ever since the early church began. They've done it in a variety of different ways, but they would always come back to this passage. Passage in 1 Corinthians here, chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again. Just want to thank you and want to praise you for this wonderful time that we've had here this morning. Thinking of your promises, thinking of what you've done for us and what that means in each one of our lives, and the encouragement we've received, how we can have successful lives, Lord. by trusting you fully in every circumstance of our lives. Again, we just want to thank you for your willingness to have your son Jesus give his life for us and willing to shed his blood so that we could have our sins forgiven. Just ask you to bless the cup as we partake of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You and I know only too well that the reason why we're here is because we're sinful, in need of God's grace, but we're also forgiven, having been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's stand together and we'll close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for each family here today. We thank you for our fathers. We thank you, our gracious Father, for loving us, sending your Son, fullest extent of your love. Thank you that he gave his life willingly, and that we here this morning are responding by faith, willingly, partaking, identifying with the broken body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to see you partake fruit of the vine in a future day, gathered around together with the saints of all time. Help us today to honor you in our conversations. In this coming week, may we trust you. May we be reminded that the many conversations that we're going to have, sometimes we'll feel, as we're reminded, maybe annoyed and losing track of time and so on. May you help us to be receptive to the different things that you lead our way. May we trust you. May we praise you. May we give thanks to you. May we love our families as you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Greet each other with a holy handshake. May the Lord bless you.